Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
You are, you change almost like every other episode, you change which words you're going to say along.
I like to mix it up, Kate. Can I also change my voice every once in a while?
They just had a thing somewhere about how NPR podcasts and shows are ruining all podcasts.
Because everyone sounds like Ira Glass.
Yes, everyone's
adopting
them. Can
we never sound like Ira Glass?
I don't think we could do it if we tried.
We could do it if we tried.
This week, we have a very interesting story. Starts off with this guy. He's a guy talking about the story. Hey, how do you feel about this story?
If anything, we have so many different ways to stay in touch with each other that we do not even notice that we're staying in touch over long distances.
We just have to put a period after every word.
The
And you got to stop rubbing your nose on the microphone.
You definitely can't do that in Ira Glass land. By the way, everyone, I love Ira Glass. So that's all I have to say about that.
I love This American Life. I don't give a fuck. I probably listen to every single episode of that show.
Multiple times.
Yep.
I've had multiple friends
What's
on that
show. What's your favorite
episode?
Okay, we can't talk about this. No. Moving right along.
Fuck that.
If you're listening to this on the day it came out, it's April 1st. That's April Fool's Day.
Maybe we should have done that.
Be careful. Don't be someone's fool today. Be careful listening to this podcast because maybe you will be our fool.
You will definitely be our fool.
You're already a fool for listening to this podcast. So, since it's the first of the month, we're going to go ahead and give you the good old ramble. So, in random order, here are the events that you should be attending. Friend of the show, Boots Riley, and Dave Zirin are having a roundtable type discussion of hip-hop, sports, and struggle on Thursday, April 16th from 7 to 10 at the Oakland Peace Center.
Interface Gallery in the East Bay is currently just started an Indiegogo fundraiser.
Oh, give them money.
It's a great, great space. She's doing great work. Check it out. Indiegogo, Interface Gallery. We'll put the link up.
The 2015 Curatorial Practice Thesis Symposium at CCA will be at that weird little lecture hall where you always got to sit on the sidelines.
Timken.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And that is Saturday, April 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sorry.
The Mills College Senior Thesis Exhibition opens.
Senior Thesis
Exhibition. It's called Uncommon Thread.
The un is in parentheses.
In parentheses. The opening reception is April 11th.
Go
see it. From 5 to 7. It's a great show,
people. Those kids work hard. Cadist and the Lab are co-presenting a two-venue exhibition called A Journal of the Plague Year, opening Wednesday, April 1st, 6 to 7:30 at Cadist, and then 7:30 to 9 at the Lab. That's not that far of a walk.
Southern Exposure is hosting the Common Field Informational Meetup today.
That same night as the Lab thing.
Today, actually.
On
Wednesday,
the 1st.
April 1st at 6:30. Common Field, for those of you who don't know it.
You should know if you listen to the show.
I'm going to just give a one-liner here.
Well, okay, Kate, shame on them for not listening and memorizing every episode of this podcast.
I need this more than anyone. Common Field is a new national visual arts organizing network connecting artists, projects, and spaces through convenings, resources, and advocacy.
That's really great if you are one of the underbed gallery people. You got a gallery in your pocket. New paintings at Aggregate Space Gallery over here in Oakland, California, 6 p.m. on April 3rd. Painting is still relevant, people.
Doug Hall, The Terrible Uncertainty.
Ooh, that's the one with the lightning.
Of the thing described.
Did you see that yet?
No.
There's lightning nonstop.
I'm excited.
People are going to die at that show.
I can't fucking wait.
People
please be careful. Wear some rubber. Don't wear a rubber. Just wear some rubber shoes.
Can't hurt to wear a rubber.
Anyhow, that show is at the Walter and McBean Galleries at SFAI, March 28th through June 6th.
Dangerous. The Great Wall of Oakland, you know, over there on Grand Avenue, the big giant outdoor projection thingy, is having a supercut film thing on First Friday. That's April 3rd at 6 p.m. Seems like the sun will still be up, so get there at 6, get your spot sorted out. Sure enough, sun will go down. Sure enough, you'll see some awesome videos.
Sure enough.
Landscape Problems Listening Party at Shipping and Receiving Shadow Gallery. It's like Toria Cummings is having a little something at 6 o'clock on April 3rd.
I feel like I'm not singing along, singing enough with my announcements.
Oh, it's okay.
Sanaz Mazenani has a show called Threshold at the Asian Art Museum, March 27th and May 3rd. Go check that one out. Marion Gray, Within the Light at the Oakland Museum of California. 23 works by San Francisco-based photographer Marion Gray. Capture performances, dance, and installations by some of the most significant artists in the Bay Area and beyond. February 14th through June 21st.
To whom it may concern at Bass and Rainer Gallery in San Francisco. 6 p.m. on April 4th. John Gorley's in that show. Market Street Prototyping Festival, the event that put me into a horrible depression for over a month. That's going to be taking place at 11 a.m. on April 9th, all over Market Street. Ina will be there checking out the wreckage.
Leslie Kulesh, It's What's Inside That Counts at Et Al, April 3rd through 18th.
John Hershen's giving a little lecture. Johnny Hershey's giving a lecture at April 10th. Oh, no, at SFAI on April 10th at 4:30.
I hate that time.
Why they always got to do that? It's for the students. The Fight for 15 March and Rally is going to be happening on April 15th to raise the minimum wage to $15. Please go. It's going to be, I think it's going to convene.
There you go. Convening.
On Telegraph and Bancroft at UC Berkeley. Lobot's having a fundraiser. They might get shut down. So you better show up on April 18th at 2 o'clock p.m. at Lobot Gallery in Oakland, California.
Are they selling work? What are they
they're
doing?
They're selling everything.
Selling everything.
I don't know what they're doing. Roundtable discussion. Black and Brown Resisting State Violence Commemorating Palestinian Prisoners Day.
Yay!
The open gallery and screen printing is at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m. there's going to be a roundtable discussion moderated by Myesha Quint from the Eastside Arts Alliance.
Oh, awesome.
And there's going to be all kinds of speakers. They're all great. It's going to be, you should totally go. It's the Parking Lot Art Fair is coming up, Daisies, on Saturday, May 2nd from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., the exact location of which will be announced on May 1st. So get on their mailing list and stuff. parkinglotartfair.tumblr.com.
I'll put it in the links. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a link for it. The Congratulations Pine Tree Golden Event of the Month is Who We Be Super Panel on Art, Protest, and Racial Justice, Saturday, April 4th, 2015, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Corit Auditorium in San Francisco. May soon forgot about it, and now she's having some kind of little crisis. There's going to be Alicia Garza from the Black Lives Matter movement. There's going to be Ben Davis, who wrote 9.5 Theses on Art in Class, one of the most important things written on the topic of art in class in the last few years. And, of course, friend of the show, Christian Frock. You know Christian. And Stephen W. Thrasher. Just his name is good enough. Don't need anything else about him. And Jeff Chang, who is another guy.
Oh, sorry, Jeff Chang.
So, go to that. You got an RSVP, and you probably didn't yet, so you probably can't go. Make sure you have your Congratulations Pine Tree monthly event card, and if you get 10 stamps, you get a free Congratulations Pine Tree commemorative tote. It's not a usable tote bag.
Kate,
it's
you
just
are such a good bullshitter. I can't believe it sometimes. I just sit here and I'm like, she's just going and going.
For a shot of whiskey, you can buy my company. I'll just keep on drinking just as long as they are free. And if you're looking for some trouble, you don't have to look hard.
Yeah, so I read about Crow's Work, which used to be a video game. A gallery that primarily showed video work, which is awesome.
I always saw other weird shit there. I went to a show there once that was all dark. There were no lights on, and they'd give you a flashlight when you came in, and you had to like find the art. Work?
Was there like was it painting?
Or it was all kinds. I think it was mainly like photos and objects and stuff.
Cool. I like that idea though.
Found.
Yeah, found objects, yeah. Literally. So it sounds like they have changed their model from being a gallery, being gallery-based, to what they're calling a center for video and visionary art, which is a little bit, which sounds awesome, and I don't totally know what that means. Yeah. But looking at their website, it sounds like it will be
a residency,
basically a residency program. It looks like they're about 3 weeks long, one at a time.
But why is it not a residency?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she just isn't using that terminology for some specific reason. Thought it was interesting that she's sort of leaving the gallery model behind and doing something else.
But are they working in the space?
I'm sure they're working in the space.
So they're going to have like a studio space.
They'll probably have a studio, but it doesn't sound like the main outcome is to have an exhibition at the end of each residency, right? She's bringing in poets, curators, you know, obviously artists, video artists. So she's sort of bringing in like a little bit more of a mix, although I think she's probably working with people like that anyhow in her initial gallery space.
I don't get it.
I mean, she kind of stressed they had a Kickstarter or like a fundraising campaign, and she stressed that the gallery was never really about.
They raised $14,000 plus.
Right, and that's sort of keep it going in the way that they're changing or shifting. But she did stress that, you know, the gallery was never really about making money off of artwork. It was right. Really kind of about supporting artists in the work.
Experimental stuff.
Yeah. So maybe she feels like this is a better model for her.
Well, I'm excited
thinking.
To see it. Do we get to see it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you never know.
Oh,
we don't
anyhow,
really know.
We got to have Crow's Work people on. We got to have Pacific Felt Factory. And did you see this new article about this other weird thing they're doing in the dog patch?
It's actually the dog patch.
Full disclosure, Maysoon and I just read aloud the article on the SF Chronicles website about this new Do-Re-Mi, what they're calling Do-Re-Mi, what Maysoon will never call it.
No.
What would you call it?
Do-Re-Mi stands for Dog Patch, Potrero Hill, and Mission. Those are all, in my mind, three separate neighborhoods. And I don't understand why they need to create a new neighborhood that doesn't need to be a new neighborhood, people.
Okay, before you go full on aggro, can we just let the listeners know what the fuck we're talking about?
Yeah, go for it.
So they're trying to relocate the art center of San Francisco.
They're trying to relocate the downtown commercial art scene.
49
Let's be
Geary,
very clear about that.
They're trying to change the locus of the art world from 49 Geary
world.
To this, what they're calling... You heard it. I won't say it again. Out here in the dog patch, these two art collectors, one of whom is a retired venture capitalist, the other of whom is a board member of
many great arts
the
organizations,
the Berkeley Art Museum and Creative Time in New York. Mm-hmm. They're opening a little spot on Minnesota Street.
It's actually not little at all. It's 36,000 square feet.
Large spot. Small in the grand scheme of things.
Not really.
Well, we are only a speck of sand in this vast universe.
Well, can we talk about can you read the part about what will be in the building?
I highlighted okay, here's a little description of what this particular building within this new neighborhood that they're inventing.
Within the dog patch. Let's be really clear. This building is in the dog patch.
So this is a quote from the article. Just as SF MoMA is the anchor of the arts in Yerba Buena, the anchor of
Dog Patch
will be 1275 Minnesota with galleries, nonprofits, media arts, a restaurant, and retail shopping. There will also be climate-controlled corner for museum shows, public art in the atrium, pop-up shows, galas, a speaker program, and live music, all under a truss ceiling with skylights and full southern exposure. The key component is a configuration that allows galleries to rent smaller permanent space than they might elsewhere because there will be flux space for rent as needed for large exhibitions. This format, plus amenities like a shipping center, staff kitchen, and 24-hour security, will bring the effective rent down to one-half to one-third. This is a quote. What our gallery tenants would pay anywhere else, says Andy Rappaport.
Anyhow,
I just want to preface it by saying, no matter if I say someone's a reptilian shapeshifter from the Illuminati come to kill us all, That just means I said that. Everything we've ever said is redacted.
People get killed for saying things.
Let us know what you think about it.
We'll put it in the links, you guys.
There'll be a link to it.
There's probably plenty of commentary at the end of article. At the end of the article, I'm sure there's plenty of commentary on Facebook.
Ooh, I don't know. No comment. Only one comment. Everyone took it to Facebook. Anyhow, let us know what your comments are, listeners. Call in 419-351-6606. You can also text that number. You can send us a little bird message at Pine Tree Podcast. Or you can email us now. congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yep.
Let us know what you think about it.
Got me a gal 9 feet tall, sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hall. Hey, hey.
It's just crazy to me how far left all theory is. I mean, most theory, like Hal Foster, Julia Bryan Wilson, Douglas Crimp, all these, you know, historians and writers are so, so progressive and far left.
Yeah.
But then we have this whole rest of the art world, and aren't they supposed to be, like, they're the experts? Like, they're who says what art was about for, like, people in 50 years that are going to be wanting to know what was going on in, like, the year 2000 or whatever. Okay. You know what I mean? They're, yeah, like, creating the narrative of art history, right? And that's how we know about art.
Right.
But the whole rest of the art world doesn't give a fuck about that. Like, if the rest of the art world actually, like, adhered to how art is talked about in art history and in art theory, we would have a very different art world, I think.
But don't you think that's probably the case in most fields? Don't you think that's the case probably? I'm not saying I agree or disagree with you, but I guess I'm just saying I see a pattern in,
like, what other fields?
Most fields where there's the academics doing the research, and then there's the people that are practitioners.
Yeah, totally.
And there's always going to be like your quack. There's always going to be like your quack doctor. And then there's the researchers who are publishing. It's just like there's all these different fields, and it's like what gets put into history later. I don't know. You know,
I just wish that we were all following the guiding light.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Why?
I think it's okay to have different voices. I mean, yes, you know, it's like, and just,
but there are different voices. I'm just saying, like, yeah, the common denominator is just that they all, like, agree that things like colonialism or racism and all this other stuff are, like, high priorities of shit that's fucked up and we need to deal with. But that isn't a priority to fucking Gagosian.
Sure isn't. Money's a priority over there.
Yeah, right.
We should have an art historian.
I just feel like
podcast.
If we all just listen to them more. I don't know. When I was in grad school, there was a time where I was, like, really disillusioned by art, and I was starting to get really jaded and sad and cynical. And then I took an art history class, and it made me...
It changed your fucking world, man.
It made me love art. I mean, I was an art history minor in college, and that was awesome too, but I don't know why. Just when I was in grad school, that made me love art again. Seeing it from art historian's perspective really changes it, I think.
Maybe you should go back into art history.
No, because then you got to write a lot. And you got to do all those fucking bibliographies and footnotes and those tiny numbers everywhere.
Oh, that's not about. That's
got to do all those.
That's not a big deal. The writing is way harder than that.
Where on the keyboard is the tiny numbers? I can't learn that.
You go into footnote. Insert
footnote.
I'm too old. Come on.
It's all about endnotes.
Endnotes, footnotes.
You know Richard Niles, who invented endnotes.
Richard Niles.
Yep.
Who's that?
Rich Niles. The Nileses.
Of Niles.
The art collectors. Yeah.
Really?
Richard Niles invented endnotes, which is a computer program that does all that bibliography shit for you. Oh. So he probably is the best friend of a lot of academics.
Yep, probably.
And P.S. is an art collector.
Yeah, very good art collector. Primarily women's work.
I think
right?
Only women, only. Pretty much, with maybe a couple of exceptions.
Rich and Lenore
Niles.
Let's make it clear that it's not just one guy collecting only
no,
women's
work. No, it's mainly
work.
Lenore.
Yeah.
Bless her. It's also like trying to find a cure for herpes or something.
We're going to talk about syphilis.
Oh, P.S. Speaking of STDs, syphilis
is rampant.
It's San Francisco is the number one in syphilis infections.
That makes me disgusted.
Don't be disgusted.
I'm sorry.
Part of what we need to do is destigmatize it. So there's no shame in having syphilis.
Is there any long-term damage?
If you, yeah, dude, you go insane. Are you kidding?
Isn't there some shame then?
No, there's no shame in it.
Okay.
You know, things happen. Who knows what happened that got somebody syphilis? Bless them all.
Oh my God,
but if you have something, go. Point is, no shame in getting checked out. Planned Parenthood.
That's true.
That's where I get my free STD test. And so head over to Planned Parenthood. Use protection. Have the conversation with your partner.
With your parents.
And your parents. But when Maysoon heard about all this, she was like, is it the tech guys having sex in the wild? What do you think they're doing?
I don't know. There's so many people walking around. They're just
having sex in the wild.
They're all just trying to hook up. Everyone's trying to hook up. It's like, I feel like there's rampant sex happening in the city.
The tech people
right
are
now.
Probably having more sex than anyone.
I want to know what.
Do you think?
I don't know.
Who's out there researching this?
Hopefully no one. Don't fucking spend your time on that bullshit.
God. I think it's interesting. I want to know everything.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you call up Google and say, how many of your employees have been reported to have syphilis in this past
year? I wonder if
year?
They could just have a little truck come up and test people. I wonder if they have that out there along with the freezing women's eggs. Congratulations! You listened to another episode of Conspiracy Gangbusters.
April Fools.